and some consequences of these for black hole temperature. This is a work collaboration done together with Hagen Kleinhardt in Berlin and Peter Gizba in Prague. First, I would like to tell you some bit of history about the research on generalization of uncertainty principle, Heisenberg principle. Perhaps one of the first papers on this topic was written, has been written by Xian Yang in 47, and then just later by Snyder, then in the 60s, Carol Yazzie, and until about 20, 25 years ago, string theory entered this topic with the papers of Veneziano, and Gross, and others, where they suggest that they consider Gedanken experiments involving gravity at high energy string scattering, and they found out that the uncertainty relation should be modified. Okay, should be modified in that way. Of course, the first term is just the usual Heisenberg term, and the second one is a deforming term, linear in the momentum transfer, in the scattering, and usually suppressed by the square of the.
It's not why.
Suppressed by the square of Planck length. And this beta is a phenomenological parameter usually depending on the. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. On the string model that you are using, but can be assumed to be of order one. String theory is not the only path to arrive to this kind of deformation of the standard uncertainty relation of Heisenberg. There are other many different other approaches. Just to give you an example, there is one considering a Gedanken experiment involving formation of micro black holes. Essentially, when you are going to probe a region with a very energetic photon, that this means that essentially you are going to concentrate in that region the energy of that photon. And if the region is smaller than the Schwarzschild radius associated with the energy of the photon, then you have a creation of micro black hole. And by definition, you cannot watch inside the black hole. So you should add this kind of the size, the Schwarzschild radius of these micro black holes to the error that you are going to make when you are doing this measure. So the situation can be summarized by a diagram like this, in which you see the sides. Essentially, if gravity were not there, you would have just the standard Heisenberg hyperbola, which means that in principle you could probe any length, a length as small as you wish, provided that you use enough energy. But since there is gravity, since there is this phenomenon of formation of the idea of a Schwarzschild radius, which by the way, as we have heard today, depends is not even a concept belonging to general relativity. It just is already Newtonian gravity. Essentially, depends on the finite value of the speed of light, then you have to consider this term linear in the energy, and then so the global effect is this one, which means essentially that you cannot probe a length smaller than some order of Planck length. And this happens when you're going to use an energy of order of Planckian energy. This kind of generalization of the uncertainty relations is not the only one. It's not the only the only way to generalize this fundamental principle. But I will show you a different part on the on this topic. In particular, we know that there are many in almost any approach to quantum gravity. We have this idea of the fact that the space-time at small length is not a smooth manifold, is not a continuum medium, but probably is some sort of a discrete structure, some kind of sand of space. You can think about atoms of space of the size of order of Planck length. This idea is around at least from the end of 50s, introduced by John Wheeler, he called it space-time foam, became much more sophisticated and precise from the mathematical point of view in loop quantum gravity, but you can find this idea, for example, non-commutative geometry, or just the simply black hole physics when you're going already, for example, in the paper of Bekenstein in 72, is connecting entropy and area of a black hole, measuring the area in units of a Planck length squared, the area of the event horizon. So the idea is to take seriously, in some ways, so to say, seriously, a discrete structure of space-time, of space particularly, and we say lattice seems to be a good toy model, at least for this kind of Planck physics. Well, we know that lattice is not only usually used in many different environment in physics. You can have usually it's a numerical regulator, for example, in quantum field theory or numerical relativity. It is also possible to define to consider a defect structure in a crystal. So considering a lattice with a spacing of about one Planck length, the step of the lattice, so-called Dwarf crystal, and this can reproduce the geometry of Einstein-Cartan spaces. Essentially, curvature in this kind of models are due to rotational defects and torsion to translational defects. But apart from this, we would like to take seriously the idea that perhaps a space is fundamentally a lattice, and so let's formulate quantum mechanics on this environment. And let's study how uncertainty principle can be formulated in this situation, and which are the consequences. I will show you some consequences about for black hole physics. So we want to have quantum mechanics. So we start from scratch. We define a differential calculus on a lattice. You have the lattice size that stands at these coordinates. On a lattice, you can define two fundamental derivatives, the forward derivatives and backward derivatives. These operations obey a generalized Leibniz rule, which can be written this way. You can perform integration as a summation. It's very, very simple on a lattice. In principle, and this integration rule obey this integration by parts rule, this one. You can also define a lattice Laplacian, which is this object here, which reduces in the continuum limit to the Laplacian, to the standard Laplacian operator. This calculus, I formulated this in one dimension, but as you can easily see, it can be extended to any number of dimensions. So we want quantum mechanics. So we need to formulate to introduce a scalar product to write down a lattice Laplacian operator, which is nothing else than this object here, which is Hermitian. we introduce a position operator which is just the standard multiplication by x, the standard position operator, and the lattice momentum operator. In order to have an Hermitian operator, we take just the average of forward and backward derivatives. This operator, the called capital P, differs from the standard momentum operator in the standard quantum mechanics by something of order epsilon squared. Epsilon is the space, the step of the lattice. Then you can compute the fundamental commutator. The fundamental commutator turns out to be this object here. You can also verify that these three objects, position, momentum, and identity operator, obey this algebra, which contracts to the standard by Heisenberg algebra when the step of the lattice is pushed to zero. And the fundamental commutator can be rewritten using Fourier decomposition in this way. So this is the fundamental commutators on a lattice. So you can here you have the standard quantum mechanics momentum operator here. This is the lattice momentum operator. This quantity computed on a lattice nodes is just equal to 1. And once you have this the fundamental commutator, of course you can go on to compute the uncertainty relation, which is following the standard path using Schwarz inequality. This is the result that you obtain. So this is the uncertainty relation on a lattice. In the standard quantum mechanics here, you just would have 1. Now you have this cosine. So we studied this uncertainty relation in two critical regimes. When long wavelength regime, when this sandwich of P goes to 0 on a given state, and the opposite regime, the regime near the boundary of the first Brillouin zone, when this quantity goes close to this value here. Of course, if you take epsilon equal to the Planck length, this quantity is essentially the Planckian momentum. So you are at energies of order of Planck energy. What you get in the first case, okay, maybe I just jump this technical stuff, but essentially at the end what you get is this, so at low energy regime, is this generalization of the standard uncertainty relation that x delta p is 1 minus something. You see here the difference between this approach and the one coming from string theory or Gedanken experiment with Michael black holes. They have plus here, while if you formulate the whole thing on a lattice, you have a minus. You can look at the formula also on the other limit. So when the momentum is close to the Planckian momentum, you are going close to Planckian energy. And here you have already a very interesting maybe a bit crazy result, but it's where you have the uncertainty problem that takes delta p, which is larger than this quantity, but this quantity can go to zero when you are going to approach the border of the first Brillouin zone. So as the momentum reaches the boundary of this Brillouin zone, the right-hand side of this vanishes, so that lattice quantum mechanics at short wavelengths seems to exhibit some sort of classical behavior. So you have delta x delta p greater than zero. This maybe can sound a bit strange, because usually people think that when you go to high energies, you should have a wild quantum behavior, wild fluctuation and so on. But actually in this case, it's exactly the opposite. So it seems that the things can behave in a classical way. Actually, we are not alone in this craziness of having these kind of results. For example, Gerhard Toft is proposing from several years the idea that perhaps beneath quantum mechanics there is a sort of a deterministic classical theory at the level of Planck scale, or a completely different approach, the double special relativity proposed in particularly by Magrath and Smolin, they also predict a fundamental commutator which goes to zero when you approach the Planck energy. So in this model, the world can become classical for energy close to the to the Planck energy. Let's. I don't know if I have. I would like to show some consequence for black hole physics on these kind of principles. You need to do this. You need to write down the dispersion relation for photons on a lattice, and essentially this is the fundamental relation rewritten in terms of energy and position. And what you get at the end, using essentially an argument very similar to the one to the microscope argument, well known, used by Heisenberg, you get a relation. You can translate the uncertainty relations into a relation between the mass of the black hole. You are considering photons just outside the event horizon, photons of Hawking radiation. The uncertainty in the position of the photons can be taken to be of the order of the geometrical size of the black hole. And then you can relate the energy, the average energy of these photons to the temperature of this gas, so that essentially you get this kind of relation between the mass of the black hole and the temperature of the black hole, the Hawking temperature of the black hole. If you push the step of the lattice to zero, you go back to the standard Hawking formula, this one, written in Planckian units, or if you wish, in standard units. As I said, if you repeat this kind of argument for the string uncertainty relation, then you get the plus here, instead of the minus, coming from the lattice uncertainty relations. And these have of course, they have this situation has present a completely different phenomenological consequences for the lifetime of these micro black holes. Essentially, in the Hawking case, is the green curve in which the decay following the Hawking formula can the mass of a black hole created, for example, in this region can goes to zero. And the temperature becomes infinite at the very end of the process of evaporation. If you the blue line is the string GUP, the generalized uncertainty principle coming from string theory, and here you have a minimum mass and the maximum temperature. The red line instead comes up from lattice, and in this case the decay goes to zero mass and a finite final temperature. So essentially, in this case, you in the case of the lattice black holes, so to say, you don't have remnants, which is exactly the contrary what happened to the if you approach this problem using the stringy generalized uncertainty principle. And so, given the time constraint, I think I will conclude here. Just this is a summary of my talk. So we derive a GOP on a cubic lattice. This GOP seems to allow for classical behavior at energy on near the border of the Brillouin zone, so Planckian energy. We have a new mass temperature relation for Schwarzschild black holes. And the final Hawking temperature of the decaying micro black hole remains finite in contrast to the infinite temperature of the standard result obtained by Heisenberg uncertainty relations. And there is a final mass of the evaporation process is zero. I take another 30 seconds to tell you something that we are something about a meeting that we are organizing a bit of advertisement. We are organizing in Taiwan, Taipei, for middle October. The title is Horizons of Quantum Physics: From Foundations to Quantum-Enabled Technologies. we have these already confirmed keynote speakers, Jacob Bekenstein, Gerhard Toft, Hagen Kleinhardt, Bilo Ruh, and Anton Zeilinger. And the main sponsor of the event is Hewlett Packard. And everybody is warmly welcome to this meeting.
Okay, thank you very much.